Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Grady.
Well, you know, it's been a while since the last time I spoke. I think it was last year. But I praise God that I don't have any more coughing. The Lord gave me my voice back. So hopefully we can go through our study this morning together and without any hiccups. And I'm excited to start this new series called Building a Christian Home. So in the next four sermons, including today, we'll be talking about building a Christian home. And I'm excited about this subject. And I think there is a great need today. And we're going to tackle the first topic this morning. But before we begin, I want to invite you to pray again. One more time. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we're about to open your word, we ask that you will send the Holy Spirit and teach us, Lord, that we can understand your truth and speak to us personally to our situations and help the message to be relevant to where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before we go further, let me say this. This series is not just for those who are married and have children. It's for everyone because we are all part of a family. We are all part of a family. Not one of us is a single independent atom that is not connected to anyone. We need one another, and we are in this web of humanity. So I want to give you heads up that you will find practical things that you can apply even right now, even if you're single. And I'm going to start by saying that family plays a major role in life, for good or bad. But take a look at this quote. This is taken from a Western New York family magazine. It says, "A stable family environment provides a foundation of support, consistent nurturing, and a sense of security can significantly contribute to a child's what? Academic, social, and emotional development, and ultimately leading to greater success in life." Researchers realize that the child's future depends largely on the family environment growing up. Another quote from an associate research professor from Duke Global Health Institute. She said, "A stable home usually involves consistent rules and expectations, which helps children learn what? Self-control and develop what? Good decision-making skills. The home dynamic plays a significant role in the positive development of the children." But the opposite is also true. Listen to this quote. "Most American adults believe family dysfunction has the most formative impact on a young person's propensity to what? To violence. Difficult family situations, such as divorce, single parenting, or absent parents, are the most often cited factors believed to contribute to what? School violence." Now, when we talk about school violence, we know that this is on the rise in our country. And we have to acknowledge as well that there are other factors contribute to school violence. You know, like untreated mental illness, easy access to guns, video games, etc. But notice that the difficult family situations affect them greatly. Now listen to this conclusion also from the National Institute of Health. It says broken homes or family instability are a significant factor in what? Juvenile delinquency. Children who grow up in unstable family environments are more likely to engage in delinquent behaviors. So this begs the question, what is God's original design for the home? What did God intend the home to be in the beginning? Now, before we go further, let me say this too. We have to recognize that no family is perfect, right? We all have our own dysfunctions, and we are striving to be better, and that's why we are here today. So I want to take you to the book of Genesis. Let's start in the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 1. We're talking about family and relationship. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. But we're going to look at this familiar account through the lens of relationship. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Genesis 1:26. The Bible says that, before we get to the verse, just to give you a background, Genesis 1, you know what it's about, right? Creation. God created the world in 6 days, and he created many things, but then he created something very special in day 6. Now, as we read Genesis 1, verse 26, I want you to count how many times the word image is being used in these verses, all right? Genesis 1, 26, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27, so God created man in his own what? Image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, how many times? 3 times. Now, understand this. When the biblical author repeats a word, he is emphasizing something. It's a way for them to say, hey, you gotta focus on this. So what he is saying is, we need to realize that we are created in the image of God. We are created in his likeness. We are created in his resemblance. Now keep that in mind. Now as we go to the next events, I want you to pay close attention to what happens next. Pay attention to the sequence. We know that, according to the Bible, Adam was created first. And then God said, Genesis 2:16-17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not what? Eat. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die." So Adam was around, and Adam received this command. And what did God tell Adam not to do? To not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if Adam eats of the tree, he disobeyed God. He sins against God, because we know the Bible says that sin is the violation of God's law. And what's the consequence of sinning against God? What if Adam eats it? According to this verse, God says that you will surely die. And that is the consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death. So Adam was created, and God gave the command. Now think with me for a second. Do you think God wants to set Adam up to successfully obey him? Do you think God wants Adam to obey him? Yes. Do you think God wants to give Adam the best chance that he could have to obey? So notice this. We have an important commandment from God to not eat of the tree. And it has grave consequences. It's a matter of life and death. And God wants Adam to obey. What did God do next? Go to verse 18. We just read verse 16. We just read verse 17. Now notice verse 18. After the command, and the Lord God said, it is not what? Good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Did God do that? Yes, he did. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to who? To the man. Did you notice this? That right after God told Adam about the commandment, he did not guard the tree with angels with swords of flames. He did not give Adam divine strength to resist the temptation. Even when Adam was perfectly made in the image of God, God says it is not good for men to be alone. If you think about this, did God ever exist alone? No. And because Adam was created in his image, God knows that Adam should not exist alone either. So God gives Adam a relationship. He gave Adam an interpersonal relationship. And if you pay attention to the sequence, in the beginning, in the perfect Garden of Eden, God designed relationships to be a protection against the devil and his temptation. God designed relationships to be a protection. If you think about this point, I think even today, we understand that relationships are a crucial element of protection. You know, during Sabbath school, Casey brought up AA, Alcoholic Anonymous. When you talk about AA, we know that they are working in groups. Nobody is encouraged to fight this battle alone. They would set you up in a community that has the same goal in mind. That's why if you're into business and entrepreneurs, they believe that if you want to be successful, you have to find a community with the same mindset. That's why some of us join Facebook group, right, for fasting, for losing weight, or even for recovering from COVID. Think about a baby. Even a baby is never born alone. At minimum, it's always born to a mother. A baby is always born into a relationship. Why? Because we are wired this way. We are wired for relationships. It is not good for us to be alone. This is why it's important to surround ourselves with people that have the same goal with us. So I want you to remember this principle. I want you to remember that God designed relationships to be a protection. So back to the book of Genesis. God's creation is perfect and complete. Adam is not alone anymore. He has Eve. But what happens next? Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I think many of us are familiar with the story. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to who? To the woman, has God indeed say you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Now, who is the new character introduced to the story of creation? The serpent, right? That's the devil. But pay attention closely to the text. Who is the devil talking to? To the woman. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God just told Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. And yet here we find Eve wandering around in the Garden of Eden by herself. Eve left Adam. She distanced herself from the relationship that God has created. She left the protection that God has placed. And now she is finding herself talking to who? The devil. And Eve kept talking with Satan. And we know the ending. She fell into sin and she disobeyed God. Genesis 3 verse 6. Genesis 3 verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her. He ate. Now, Adam had come into the picture. This text basically says now both of them disobeyed God. And the result of their obedience is that their relationship with one another is damaged. Go to verse 12. Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." So this is what happens after they left the protection. They disobeyed God. Notice what Adam said. First, Adam blamed Eve. Now there's this gap in the relationship. Now there is this distance between Adam and the very woman who's been created from his own ribs. Damage in the relationship. But also, if you read closely into the text, Adam said, "The woman whom you gave," speaking to God. So essentially, Adam is blaming who? Blaming God. Notice that this is damaging his relationship with God as well. And we saw this in their reaction earlier in verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to them, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was what? Afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." The Bible says, "But your iniquities have what? Separate you from who? From your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." I want you to see that sin disrupted every relationship they had. It hurt their relationship with one another. It hurt their relationship with God. And one poor choice brought about death. And here we are 6,000 years later. We are still reaping the consequence of their action. We are talking about relationships and family. And one way to process this story is that it all started because one of them left the family relationship that God has designed as protection. Do you think Satan knows that we are weaker when we are alone? Do you think Satan knows that we are weaker when we don't have strong, meaningful relationships? You know, it's interesting that I found this video of a lady that asked an AI tool, right? An artificial intelligence tool called ChatGPT. And she has a very interesting question. She asked, "If you were Satan and you want to destroy America, how do you do it? And the first answer that appeared in front of her was, I would, and I quote, undermine family structure. I would undermine family structure, break down traditional family values and norms by promoting confusion around gender roles, sexual ethics, and parental authority. A wise author, Ellen White, says this: society is composed of what? Families. Society is composed of families and is what the heads of the families make it. Out of the heart are the issues of life, and the heart of the community, of the church, and of the nation is the what? Household. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon what influences? Home influences. In other words, Satan knows his best chance to get us to follow him is when he can destroy relationships within families. He knows that if Satan can destroy the family, he can destroy it all. That's why he tempted Eve while she's away from her husband. That's why he's trying so hard to destroy families in our society today. And I believe this is why it's essential for us to restore family relationships. Now, do you think God wants to restore family relationships? Listen to this text. Malachi 4, verse 6, the Bible says, and he is talking about God, and God will turn the hearts of who? Of the fathers to who? To the children, and the hearts of the children to who? To their fathers. Now, according to this text, who will turn the heart of the fathers to the children? God. Now, according to this text, who will turn the hearts of the children to the father? God. God is in the family restoration business. Amen? He wants to repair these walls of protection that Satan has destroyed. But do you know something? God can do it only when the father and mother and children cooperate with him and give him permission to do so. In other words, it can only happen when each of the members of the family has a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to tell you a story from my own family. Now, growing up, my family claimed to be Christian. I think many of you have met my family. You know, they were here. Was it last year? It was last year. 2 years ago, 2023, 2024. Anyway, you've met my dad, you've met my mom, you've met my brother. Okay, so it's a family of four. And growing up, we claim to be Christian. And this story happened around 2010 or so. And we were Christian to a certain extent. But there are things that we did, even in my young mind, I knew there were not Christian things to do. So for example, dad would curse at a traffic. You know, we live in a big city. Or my parents would, quote unquote, passionately discuss, right? They were using strong words. And when we say, mom, dad, don't argue. No, we're not arguing. We're just discussing, right? And that would happen during car rides and around dining table. And that made my brother and I felt very uncomfortable. And my brother and I were into everything that was trending except the Bible. I mean, we were into sports, we were into video games, with music, movies, etc. But we would go to church every week. But then in that same year, Dad decided to go to a Bible meeting for one whole week with his friends. That was odd. Never happened before. But boy, he came back a different man. And that slowly transformed my family. Now, even in my high school years, you've been high school, when friends meant everything to me, I started looking forward to dinner time with mom and dad. And we started to gather around the table every night and talk about our day. We would spend quality family time together. And my house finally started to feel like home. And not long after that, my brother and I gave our hearts to Jesus. No more cursing, no more arguing, because Dad became like Jesus in his speech. We noticed that his tone changed. The words he used changed. Even his temper changed. His mannerism changed. And everyone else in the family followed his example. At that point, the walls of protection were repaired in our home. And just last night, as I was preparing this message, I looked back and I realized that I don't know where I would be if Dad hadn't changed. Frankly, I don't think I would be a pastor today. And I know that I have made better decisions in my life because of my parents' example and guidance, and I am blessed. And I look back and I realize it all happened because someone in my family decided to take his relationship with Jesus seriously. God worked through Dad. And this reminds me of the verse. The Bible says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do how much? Nothing. How much can we do without Jesus? Nothing. We want to build a Christian home. We want to repair the walls of protection, but our efforts will be an utter failure without the help of Jesus. You can try all the methods in the world. You can apply all the advice, but it will not transform the family. You know, it's not the conflict resolution seminar that will fix your family. It's not the wealth and financial seminar that will fix your family. It's not the communication tutorial that you watch on YouTube. It's Jesus. The Bible says with Jesus, all things are possible. And I want to remind us, because all of us is part of a family. It starts with one. It starts with someone in the family who decided to build their relationship with Jesus. And I firmly believe that this is the only way. The essential foundation of a Christian home is that Jesus must be in our hearts. So if you want to hear more practical tips about building a Christian home, I want to invite you to come to the next meeting. In the next few sermons, I'll try to answer questions like, what is the role of the husband or father that should play in the family? What about the role of the wife and the mother? Who's responsible in raising God-fearing children? How can I give my family the best opportunity for all of them to be saved? But I want to say that, gentlemen, I think you have your first chance here. We will discuss how to be a Christian husband and father next. We're going to talk about how to be a Christian husband or father on that day. But I want to close by giving you hope. I want to remind all of us that positive change is possible, that God is interested in fixing and repairing your families. And positive change can start with you. God can work through you in a way that you never imagined. You are an agent of change in your family. And He wants to repair relationships and use them to protect you and your family against the devil. And it can start right now. So I want to invite all of us. Let's make our church better. Let's make our society better. Let's make our nation better by building a Christian home where Jesus and His angels would love to dwell. Is that your desire? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the message. Thank You for reminding us that You are interested in restoring our families. You know our hearts, and You are the one that know the most about the conditions of each and every family represented in this room. Some of us might be thinking about the dynamics, the ugly dynamics, the uncomfortable dynamics, the awkward dynamics that some of us might have. But Father, we want to restore these relationships. And we pray and ask that we can be the agent that You will use to repair our families. Father, we long to restore family unit into the ideal that You have ordained in the Garden of Eden. And Father, we pray for help. We ask that our relationship with You can be so real that it comes out in every interaction that we have with our family members. I pray that You will work through the Holy Spirit to change us, that everybody else in the family can notice the change and be interested in following You. We want to uplift our family into Your hands. Use it for Your glory. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches or a church listed near you on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Gladwin Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2336 M61 in Gladwin, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. You'll find the Marion Seventh-day Adventist Church at 801 West Main Street in Marion, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.